little humor's good. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. I love this text right here. I've preached on it before, but every time I read the Word of God, I see something there that maybe I didn't see the first time or even several times. In verse 6, Joshua 14, and the Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was before Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and fellowship with one another and meet together, Lord. Thankful for the singing and just all that's taken place so far, Lord. Now we're praying that you speak to our hearts, make your presence known among us today. Lord, you know every need. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, we pray that you draw men and women to yourself. And we ask it now and thank you in advance for what's going to take place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message is "The Blessings of Completely Following the Lord." Of course, to get you up to speed where we're at, if you didn't pick it off from the text I read, 45 years before this, this is where the Israelites had left Egypt and got up to the edge of the promised land that God had told them he would give them. And Moses had said, "Listen, we're going to send 12 spies out to look everything over." It wasn't because Moses didn't send them over there because he didn't think that they could take the land. It was just strategy. You know, even though God gives us promises and commands, he still expects us to use our brain and go in there and see what's going to be the best route to go. And, you know, what are we going to face when we get there? We'll be prepared. I mean, God expects us to prepare. And they went in and they saw the land, how good it was. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, no doubt. And they talked about all the stuff they saw over there. It was great. But there was some big people. There was giants, they called them. There was this Anakims. They were a group of people that were very big. And they had, there was mountains. They had fortified cities. And what happened when they came back, 10 of the spies said, "Listen, the people are too big. The people are too many. The cities are too great." In other words, what they were doing, they were magnifying the problems that they saw. But Caleb and Joshua said, "Listen, let's go take it. Man, it's ours. You know, God's on our side." You know, they magnified God. There's a difference, you know, and that happens to us a lot of times in life. A lot of times we magnify the problems and the mountains that we have before us in our life instead of magnifying God, who's greater than them all, you know. And so they had it right. And because of that, now when we get to this place, because of that, we see that God made a promise to both Joshua and Caleb. And he told Caleb, he said, "Every place that your foot trod when you went in that land," he says, "I'm going to give that to you." He says, "I'm going to give that to you." Man, that's a promise from God right there. And think about it now, you know, when we get to the area we're in right now. Well, let me read you the promise first. I wrote it down. That promise was found in Deuteronomy 1:36. This is after God had declared that the people that didn't put faith in him when they could have gone into the land, he said that they wouldn't see the land. He said, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And so, you know, there was a promise. And now, 45 years later, he stands before Joshua, his old buddy. Joshua and him were the two guys that had faith. You imagine the friendship they had, all the things they had seen. Listen, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all the people that were of age died off. All the men that died off that were of age that wouldn't put faith in God, they had all died. All their friends, all the relatives that wouldn't trust God died, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, other people were born, there were younger people, and there was still a multitude of people. But imagine these two old guys, 45 years of friendship, probably longer than that, because they already knew each other before that, so probably 50, 60 years of friendship. They're standing before each other, and Caleb says, hey, he said, Joshua, he said, you remember back 45 years ago when we went in and everything, we looked at the land and we wanted to go in, but the people didn't want to go. Listen, this shows you something right here. That negativism, you know, is a catchy thing. Because two of the spies said, hey, man, we can get it. We got God on our side. He's already promised it. Let's go in and take the land. And 10 of them said, oh, no, man, it's too big. And they got all nervous and panicky. And guess what? The rest of the Israelites believed those 10 spies right there. That also tells you the majority's not always right, right? There's a couple lessons in there. You know, the majority's not all right. He said, but here's old Joshua. He said, you remember that? And he said, you remember Moses? He talked to God for me, and he said, God promised me that I was going to get my land. They were getting right, what they were getting ready to do now, they had gone into Canaan, and they had fought all the battles, most of the battles. They had actually defeated most of the enemies, but this one little area, and I want to, this is important because Caleb's 85 years old. He said, I want this mountain right here. And he said, this was one that hadn't been defeated yet. This isn't the piece of land that had already been conquered from the enemies of the land. This is a land that needed to be conquered. Man, that's a critical thing right there. He said, I want that right there. I want this mountain. He said, let me have that as my inheritance. And you know, Joshua said, no problem, man. It's going to be yours. And because they were buddies, and he knew and he had faith in God. And so, you know, when we think about this, just leading up to what I want you to talk to you about this morning, you know, Caleb got to a place. And, you know, he was in the latter part of his life, no doubt, at 85 years old, even though he might have lived a while after that. But, you know, that he had to make a choice. What did he want most of all in life? And I thought about that as I was thinking about this. What do you want most of all in life? Now, I'll tell you this for the younger people and for the middle-aged people and for the older people. That thing changes. As you go through life, what you want more in life usually changes. Now, it could be a bad thing, it could be a good thing, but, you know, our perspective on things with age usually changes. What do you want most of all in life? I want you to think about this, ask yourself this question. Really, what do you want most of all in life? Most of all in life. Caleb had the same convictions about God at 85 that he had at 40. That hadn't changed. Three times, I have it underlined in this part of the text, it says that he was told that, we're told that he wholly followed the Lord. That means completely. He completely followed the Lord. I mean, not halfway. Follow the Lord some of the time. Half of the time, but it says that holy time, whole heart, whole mind, whole spirit, that he followed the Lord. And that resulted in some things, and that's what we'll look at this morning. The result of wholly following the Lord was blessing on his life. See, I can answer the question for you probably at any age in your life, no matter how old you are, young you are. What do you really want? You just want to be happy. That's what you want. You just want to be happy. You know, and you think about it from the time you were little kids, we want toys and this and that, and we just want to get things, we want things, and we want to do things, and we go on vacations, and we, no matter what, you know, there was vices that we had or got involved in, or maybe you are involved in, that you, why do you do those? Because you just think that's going to make you, whatever it is, we just want to be happy. I want you to show you how to be happy. The key is in holy following the Lord. If you can't figure that out, but we'll see what happened with Caleb. The very first thing we see, he had blessings. Blessings is the same as happiness. We all want to be blessed, right? The very first thing we look at this morning is he was blessed with health. Verse 10 and 11, he said, "Now behold, Lord, the Lord kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." That's 40 or 85 years old. And look what he said. "And yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." This is what he said. I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong at 85 as I was at 45. Man, I mean, that's a blessing right there, man. I mean, that's a blessing. Now, not everybody has their health. I understand that. But boy, if you got it, it's a blessing. I remember when I was a little kid, man, I told my grandmother, I was at her house, and I can remember, I could take you to the living room at the spot where I talked to her about this. I said, "Man, I want to live to be 100 years old." She said, "Woo, good night." Of course, she was probably, in her late 50s or 60 then maybe. And she said, "No, I don't want to live." I said, "Well, you know, if you could be healthy and everything. I mean, I don't want to be, on a ventilator and everything hung up, but I wanted to be 100 years old." Now, I was thinking about that the other day when I told Nana, I always called her Nana. I told Nana that, and I said, "You know, the only thing about that, and I mean, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? We want to hang around as long as we can. But you know, when you live to be 100 years old, you're going to see some things. You might outlive your children. You'll probably outlive your spouse. You'll probably outlive most of your family, relatives. And, you know, you could even outlive your grandkids if you live to be 100 years old. There'd be some things to go through in life if you live that long there. But he said, "Man, listen, I'm 85. I'm just as strong as I was at 40. I can go to war, man." How'd you like to get whipped by an 85-year-old? Man, you think, "Hey, that old man over there, man, somebody smack you in the jaw, man, he done thumped you, man." I mean, this is it. But you know what? He was following God. God made him a promise, and I'll talk about that promise in a little bit, and God's not going to fulfill his promise. Listen, there's I think about this, I like it. Here's a guy, 85 years old, and he says, "Listen, what do you really want in life?" He said, "Man, I want the promise that God gave me. I want that land right there." He didn't say, "Listen, I want some of the land that's already conquered." He said, "I want this land right here. We still got to go in there. The Anakim still live there because they were the giants. So you know how we do. We do all the easy stuff first, and the last thing left was this piece of land that's got the giants on it." Caleb didn't say, "Well, give me that land that's already done, taken care of." He said, "I want that land. I'm going to go in there and get it. I'm 85. I'm going to go in there and kick some rear end. You know, I'm going to get this." I mean, you believe that? And we get, a lot of times, this is what happens to us. 85. What are you going to be doing if you're not 85 yet? What are you going to be doing when you're 85? Huh? You know what happens? This is what happens to us. A lot of times, we got a point in our head. We don't know where it is. And it's all in different places. But we got an age where we think, "Well, man, I get to that, I ain't doing nothing." You know? I mean, but here's the sad thing. Let me tell you about this from Christian folks. This is what happens. There's a lot of Christian folks, and you might be here today, probably already fit in. You've already got to that point in your life where you're saying, "I'm not going any farther. I'm not doing any more. I'm not," you know, and I mean this in your Christian life. You know, "I've gotten saved, and I've got my seat nailed down at church. Nobody better get in it. I'm not moving." And that's a figurative point on a spiritual thing. We don't want to go any farther with God. You know, we got the basics down, that's it. And we've already made our mind up. We're not looking. Here's Caleb. He wants new ground. He wants what God has for him. He wants everything that God has for him. He wants to move past a place in his life. And we get to that point a lot of times where we quit. No matter what it is, we quit trying. We quit dreaming. We quit planning. We quit having a vision about things. I tell you, I was telling Sherry the other day, I said, the ministry is such a paradoxical thing. You know, I mean, here a while back, back 6 months ago maybe, I'm sitting there thinking, well, I got the thing from the Social Security. It said, well, if you retire at 66, you get this much. But if you hang on 4 more years, you know, you get that. And, you know, and that is better than this. And I said, you know, well, you know, years go by pretty fast. And the guy, my financial guy said, well, how do you feel? I said, well, I feel pretty good. he said, you know, I feel, he said, we base it on a lot of that stuff right there. And you're just kind of thinking, well, man, if I can just hang on 9 more years, you know, I'll hang on and I'll be. And then, like, revival started breaking out and people were getting saved like left and right. And I'm thinking, man, retire. Who's worried about retiring, man? I'm just going to go on out there, man. We'll just go on to the bitter end, right? And then Satan sends those discouragements along. And then you think, let's see, how many more years is this? So you only got 61, and I see I only got like 8.5 years now. You know, counting down 8.5 years, 14 days, 23 hours. You know, I got to go. I mean, it's just how our mind works with those things. And we don't have, you know, we start losing visions or we don't want a vision. And part of it is because to get to those places, you got to fight. Caleb would have to go, and he's got to fight on this because the Anakims are still there. And he's got to go in there and fight. But he said, that's what I want. You know, anything worth having is worth fighting for, right? He said, this is what I want. So we don't want to, you know, a lot of times, like I say, we quit doing that. We want somebody else to pick up the slack way before we hit 85. But you know, Moses, man, Moses was 80 years old before God even used him. Amen. He was 80 before he did it, you know. And like I said last week about people having crutches that they don't really need just to get through life. And they kind of use the crutches as an excuse to keep moving ahead. And so sometimes we have them too. So, but we see Caleb. Here was a man that was blessed with his health. And man, I tell you what, I mean, I wouldn't mind living a long time. If I can stay healthy, stay strong, I still can, you know, got my brain at least working as good as it is now, which isn't always great. But so we got that. Now, the second thing we see right here was he was blessed with desire. Blessed with desire. He had a desire to claim the promise that God wanted him to have. Everything that he had. You know, a lot of times, and this back to what I just said a few minutes ago, especially when it comes to the things of God, you know, we get a little blessing, boy, God pours out just a little drop, and it's like, woo, man, that is so good, but it's just a drop. God's got so much more to give us, and we don't want that. You know, we just get enough, we get satisfied with parts of things. You know, and we don't really want to increase our borders in a spiritual sense, our coast. I was thinking about preaching on that next week. We don't want to increase that. We just kind of, we got our own little sphere of things, our little comfort zone, and you know, we don't want to have to do with that. 2.5 tribes went, listen, they've gone into the promised land. Some of the promised land's already been conquered, so they could go in because Joshua is dividing up the inheritance amongst all the tribes. And that's when Caleb said, hey, listen, this is what I want for my inheritance while you're picking. I want that mountain right there. Don't worry, that's what God promised me, and I want that. He reminded Joshua, and Joshua no doubt remembered, and Joshua said, yeah, you got it, man. You got that. But 2.5 tribes... they got right up to the edge of the promised land before they crossed the Jordan. This is what they said. They said, look, we're not backing out. We'll go with you across the river to fight the enemies. We're going to fight with you, but we want this land on this side of the river. And it had good grass and all that for the cattle and everything. That's what they thought about. Now, don't you think if on the other side of the river was the land that God promised them, don't you think over there somewhere there'd be good grass for cattle? If you're wholly following the Lord and you got cows, don't you think God's got some good grass over there in the promised land and not on that side of the river? There's a spiritual picture there. A lot of people, right, and as I said this morning, Canaan is not heaven. It doesn't picture heaven in a spiritual way because there's battles to fight in Canaan and there's not battles to fight in heaven. Thank God for that. Amen? So Canaan is a spiritual place that God is leading us to right now. There's a place he wants to get us to. It's a closer walk with him, a greater spiritual place, a place of total submission, a place of total trust, a place that God can use. There's a place, right? But a lot of us are just afraid of it, you know? And so what happens is we get right up there, let's just live as close to the place that God wants us to get as possible, but we don't want to go all the way in. You know, it's like, you know, the priest having to step in the water. Woo, that water's cold. We just don't want to step in and go all the way with God. We'll get up. And I see people sometimes. I see people grow. I see people that grow that, you know, didn't do things. Maybe they can start to pray and they start to lead their families, and or maybe they just start to say, well, I want to do something for God. And you see people, they get a little closer to the promised land and they get a little bit closer to it and they get right up there to the border, but then a lot of times they stall out. You know, they get right over there and they don't want to go all the way in. And that's what this picture is right here, but not Caleb. Caleb 85 said, man, I'm going in. Not only am I going in, I'm going to go to the hardest place. He's got a mountain over there. He's got giants, got fortified cities, but I don't care. God's bigger than all them problems. He said, I'm going to take it. So he had a desire for that, had to fight. You know, he didn't want to live on the border, be a borderline Christian, didn't want to live outside of the promised land. Why do we spend all our time trying to see how close to the world we can get and still be a Christian instead of spending our time trying to see how much like God-like we can get and getting away from the world? You know, we get it backwards a lot of times. And so that's what Caleb, the picture that we see in that text right there. The third thing is we see that he was blessed with great faith in God. Listen, he was, how many of y'all struggle with patience? You know, yeah. Like I always say, I'm not a doctor because I don't have any patience, right? I mean, God gave him a promise. You know how we are. We like want it now, right? How'd you like to wait for something for 45 years? 45 years, he said, I got a promise. And you know, Caleb pointed out, he said, God kept me alive all these years. And that's why I think God, listen, God didn't wait till Caleb was beat down, dragged down, 85, can't see, can't walk, got to have a wheelchair, whatever, you know. God kept his health. He said, I feel as good as I did when I was 40. I'm just as strong as I was at 40. God, and now I'm going to fulfill the promise. Now, that would be a test of your faith. That's a real test of your faith that God gave you a promise and you had to wait. Like, we can't wait 45 minutes most of the time, much less 45 years. He waited for that. And you know what? He didn't become complacent. He didn't become indifferent. He didn't drift away. He didn't waver. I mean, nothing changed. You know, he kept trusting. He just kept believing God. And then he wanted a mountain. It was the same mountain that put all the fear into the rest of the nation and the fear in the other 10 spies. It was the same exact place, the same place of ground that caused all the fear. And everybody said, that's what I want. Right there. That's what I want. I mean, man, it's like going and picking the biggest guy out, and you're going to get in a fight with a bunch of people. You just go pick the biggest guy out, and I'm going to punch him right in the nose and see what happens. He went in. Huh? He went in there. There was no mountain too big because his faith and his God were bigger. See, everybody's got faith until they got to face a mountain. Everybody's got faith until they've got to face a giant. And a lot of people, you know, listen, in life, listen, there's giants in life. There's mountains in life. Whatever analogy you want to use, you know, it might be health problems. It might be a relationship problem. It might be a spiritual problem. But God is bigger than our problems. You know, we have such a tendency to magnify the problems above God. And you know, because Sherry and I were talking about it this morning, man, we're human nature. It's human nature. You know, we start focusing on the negative things. We start focusing on things that, you know, kind of bring you down. Instead of focusing on all the blessings that we have from God, we focus. And what happened is, you know, we have a term. We say we made a mountain out of a molehill. That's what happens because we've magnified this. You know, you can take a magnifying glass and look at a molehill. It'll look like a mountain. And that's what we do. We start looking at it the wrong way instead of just always magnifying God. Always magnifying God. I want to do that tonight when I preach tonight a little bit about who the Lord really is. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you got an addiction problem, God's bigger than that. You got a sin problem, listen, God is bigger than that. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, my God is bigger than your problems. Caleb knew that. You know, the second thing we see, he was blessed with a testimony from God. The fourth thing, he blessed with a testimony from God. This is in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24. I wrote it down here. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down, or you can. It doesn't matter. I have it. Numbers 14, 24, this is what he said. But my servant Caleb, because he hath had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. This was another part of that same promise that God had given right there. But I want you to notice it says, because he had another spirit. It means a different spirit. And you know, there's a lot of spirits in people that we know, you know, and even in ourselves. Sometimes there's a complacent spirit. Sometimes there's a critical spirit. Sometimes there's a complaining spirit, a fearful spirit, indifferent spirit, indecisive spirit. Sometimes people can't make up their mind, decide what they're supposed to do. But it said about Caleb that he had another spirit. You know, it's a good question. I asked you one question already, asked you this question. What kind of spirit do you have? You know, what kind of spirit do you have in your own self? You know, Caleb was an overcomer. I mean, I just picture from the words that I see. You know, you see people sometimes, and sometimes people don't. They're not aggressive, or they're not, or they may be timid, or they may be wishy-washy, or they're indecisive, or they just complain and whine, and why does everything have to be? You know, I see Caleb. Here's this guy, 85 years old. He goes up to Joshua and said, look, man, that mountain right there, I want that. That God promised it. You remember that promise? Yeah, well, I want it, man, and I'm ready. I'm ready to go into war. I'm going to fight for it. I mean, you see a guy that is, like, motivated. You know, he's a motivated man. He's just trusting God. Was there a mountain? Yeah. Were there giants? Yeah. Were there fortified cities? Sure. But he said, you know what? God's bigger. I'm going to take it. It's not a question of if, maybe, perhaps. I know I'm going to get it. Positive outlook. I like that. That's a good spirit right there to have. Amen. A positive outlook right there. And so he overcomes. And sometimes we got to take stock of ourselves and really say, you know, just what kind of a spirit do I have? Now, here's a little quiz for you. You think about this. What discourages you? What depresses you? What defeats you? I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. What defeats you? You'd be surprised if you start taking stock of that. What little old things we let defeat us. You know, I mean, some little something didn't go our way. Somebody said some little something that's not exactly like we like. Sometimes it's just the weather. Sometimes it's, you know, just all kind of things. And I'm talking about in comparison to a mighty God, the things that we as supposed to be believers, having faith and trusting God, what we let discourage and defeat and drag us down. Which in a month or two isn't going to matter. You know, think about most of the problems you have in life. Most of the problems that most of us have in 6 months from now ain't going to matter. It's just not. Sometimes we're a little longer than that. Sometimes a little less. But it's just not going to matter. It's all going to be over with. And we're just going to keep on moving ahead with God. Why? Think about that. Here was a guy. When we think about what discourages us, what depresses, what defeats, are they really things that are really bigger than God? And there's nothing bigger than God. Caleb was an overcomer because he wholly, or which means completely, he followed God. You know, you think about being saved. Man, I tell you what, you go around in circles with somebody trying to get people saved sometimes. What's keeping you from being saved? Whatever it is, it's not bigger than God. Huh? The Bible says he is saved to the uttermost. I mean, that means completely saved, but there's nothing that stops God from saving people that trust in him. What's keeping you from being saved? I asked this question at the beginning. I'm almost done with the message this morning. What do you really want in life? What do you want? I know, be happy, be blessed, be at peace, be loved, be fulfilled, be satisfied, all of the above, right? I mean, everything. We want all those things. That's what we want in life. Well, you can have it. Completely, wholly, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things. He has all those things. You don't have to claw and fight and scrape and scratch and try to put your trust in the stock market and in other people and in vices and all that stuff right there, which doesn't give you any of those things. You can have it by just fully trusting, wholly following the Lord. Bless. You want, this is what you want. Everybody said, this is what we want. Everybody was bobbing their head up and down. I want to be happy. I want to be at peace. I want to be loved. I want to be satisfied. I want to be fulfilled. All those things. Jesus Christ. Found in Jesus Christ. That's it. Completely trusting, following the Lord. Why don't you do that today? Let's all stand, have our heads bowed, eyes